Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Well, each week gets like bigger and bigger and bigger. It's kind of like watching a volcano explode with ever-increasing plumes of glowing lava. Well, this morning we're going to talk about three things, basically. We're going to talk about where the left really wants to take this coronavirus nonsense. And I'm going to give you some examples. And then number two, we're going to talk about China. Now, we're not going to rehash the fact that the bug was hatched in the virology lab. We're not going to rehash, really, although we're going to mention it, the fact that the lab was funded by Obama and Fauci, and that Obama and Fauci remain good friends and talk several times a week. What we're going to talk about in China is a threat of war, a hot war with China, which I would put at about 50-50 right now, folks. And we're going to get into it. I'm going to give you some examples of what's happening in the on the global chessboard, the military chessboard, and we're going to examine the possibilities. Just as the Chinese are examining the possibilities right now, as is the United States, and perhaps, who knows, NATO, and Russia, and Iran, you know, the Axis. Anyway, it's some scary stuff, and it's really amazing. Nobody's reporting on it. So this will get you in the know, so that you can watch events from afar, hopefully from afar, and hopefully they remain afar. Then we're going to talk about this nonsense they call COVID-19. And we're going to talk about some things I've been telling you for months, and that is that it is way overblown. You know, back on January 4th, when I was the first media in the United States to bring this to your attention, I think by 2 weeks, I told you on January 4th and January 11th, this would be a much, much bigger deal than anybody was supposing, or that anybody knew. I was right on that score. Now, I didn't realize until we had this massive national, state-by-state, et cetera, lockdown, and that and this overplay of executive power in breach of constitutional rights by, in my opinion, the federal government via Fauci and Birx, who are really, you know, Gates's puppets, at the state level, i.e. particularly the blue states, Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, California, Washington, it's the blue states. It's a mentality of the left, which we're going to talk about. And it gives you a taste of what you will see them do if they ever really get power. Right now, they have power, but their power is checked. If they gained the Senate, or if they gained the Senate and the presidency, Katie, bar the door. I'm going to give you some examples of some of the things that are hatching up right now that's actually taking form in bills in the Democratic Communist House of Representatives. It'll catch your attention, and nobody is talking about it. I mean, everybody's talking about the usual glitter on the surface stuff. This is big stuff, and they're hatching it, and they're serious about it, folks. They're serious about it. And then we're going to talk about, as is so typical in despots, as is so typical in those who tout totalitarian rule, complete authority, bow to the state, the individual is subservient to the collective, the rules that they enforce on you with arrest and fines and who knows what else and threats are not rules that they follow themselves. Wait till I give you some of the examples of our exalted rulers breaking their own rules that they are throwing you in jail for and fining you. It's remarkable. But it is a foreshadow. It is a warning of what will happen if we don't get our act together for November 3rd. And by we, I mean the American people, the majority, not the vocal minority, which is what the Democratic Communists, the alt-left, and the alt-left Islamist cluster really is. And of course, we're going to have our historical story. And of course, our historical story is going to kind of tie into what this show is about. Because the coronavirus, folks, is about perception. Fear is their weapon. And anything that they and their mouthpieces in the mainstream media, DNC press, anything they can do to foment fear, to promote fear, to increase fear, to keep fear going, helps them in their end game. And their end game is very simply one word, control. And from that emanates power and money and privilege. But the key word is control. So let's get started. First of all, our historical story. I think you'll find this apropos, and I particularly enjoyed it since, as you know, I write historical fiction set in the West in the 1850s and 1860s. So in plus or minus August of 1876, there was a man by the name of William Hickok. Wild Bill, they called him. And he was shot. He was shot on that day in the back of the head as he sat at a poker table. By the way, Bill was extra cautious. For years and years, he had become kind of a symbol of the West. And he was really a lawman for hire. He served as marshal in Abilene, Dodge City, and in some of the roughest tumble Wild West towns. Hays City, Dodge, Abilene. These were tough places, and the press glamorized them. I mean, in the press's the way the press portrayed it, he was a swashbuckling hero of a lawman. They never mentioned the fact he was pretty much a, you know, rent-a-gun. And they glamorized the violence in these cities. And to hear them say it and write it and read it, and it's still the perception today. There was, you know, shootings every day. I mean, you know, there were corpses lining the street, riddled by bullet holes, many of them from Wild Bill's 2 6 guns. Well, you know, more and more young people looking to make a name for themselves were streaming west. And life got dangerous for Bill. Because what better way to make a name for yourself than to knock off the most famous lawman of the time, the most famous Western character. In fact, it got so bad that Wild Bill not only carried the 2 6 guns on his hips, he had a brace of 6 guns, Colts, in his belt, carried 4 pistols at all times. And he always sat, he loved poker. And he always sat at a seat that its back was to the wall in a corner of the room so that he could survey the room and he could survey the window. Well, Bill could see the handwriting on the wall. You know, his days were numbered if he stayed with the rent-a-cop deal. And, of course, he had his show and all that stuff, and he had some money socked away. Anyway, at the ripe old age of 38 years old, believe it or not, just 38 years old, he got married. And the gal was a great gal, and they moved to they moved to a small town, Deadwood, South Dakota. That's where he decided to retire, to more or less hang up his six guns, although he carried them every place he went, all four of them, but to retire his star and badge. And he lived there for a year or two, quite happily with his new bride. And by the way, his bride, his bride was, yes, you guessed it, a pool hall girl back from one of the towns he had been a marshal in. But that is yet another tale. So anyway, we're now in August 1876. And Hickok, he was still making some money from his shows, but he had pretty much tempered down his life. And his biggest thing was to play poker every day. And he'd usually get to the poker table and the bar, obviously, in which the poker table was located, kind of mid-morning. And on this particular day, he was late. And when he got to the bar, his normal seat in the corner, looking out over the room with full visibility of the door and the windows, was taken. He asked the guy politely to move. The guy refused because he had won three straight hands. So Hickok, for the very first time, took a seat where his back was to the room. Entered the bar a young man a young man recently from the East looking to make a name for himself, a young man by the name of Jack McCall. It just so happens that Hickok had shot McCall's brother 2 weeks earlier. So there's another little twist, you should say, or we could say in the story. Anyway, McCall hung out at the bar for 3 hours looking over Hickok's shoulder, sipping his drink. And then, as Wild Bill bumped the table with a stand pat hand, McCall raised the gun, shouted, "Damn you," and shot Hickok in the back of the head. Well, Hickok died instantly. As a little historical side note, McCall, trying to escape, fell off his horse. And bad things happened to McCall. We don't really need to go there. But all the players that had been at that table turned over the hand that Hickok had been betting heavily and then standing pat on. And it was black aces and eights, which is now known to this day as the dead man's hand. By the way, the fifth card, for those of you who like historical trivia, was the Queen of Diamonds. But that's not really the story it's not really the whole story. The whole story is that Jack McCall had been prompted into this insane action by a number of matters, not the least of which was the glamour and glitz that the press had attached to, as they portrayed it, the wild, rough and tumble, frontier towns of the old and wild west, where shootings occurred normally, and Bill Hickok, shot most of them, and corpses lined the street. It might interest you to know that Bill Hickok did not shoot many people. In fact, less than a dozen in all his years as a lawman. It might also interest you to know that the total number of people in those three Wild West towns that the press created this romantic and violent perception of were less than the deaths in Chicago today in one weekend. Think about that. Think about that. And the moral of the story is, truth matters little when you control perception. Now, let's get started with our events, shall we say. So, folks, we're going to talk, number one, about coronavirus. perception. Ties right into the historical story I was just telling you. Just as the press of that day romanticized, glamorized, and completely fabricated the reality of Abilene, Dodge, and Hays City, so too does the press and the left and certain parts of the globalist medical community wildly inflate the dangers of corona. In fact, the models, and you know this, the models that were used to shut down the United States of America, that were given to Trump, were 30x, that's 30 times higher than actual. 30 times. The outfit that did that model, and then the next model, which was 20 times higher, and the next model, which was 15 times higher, was funded by Bill Gates, the IMH. So you can see, and Fauci and Gates are friends, and Burks's relatives work for the Gates Foundation. Fauci is on their board. I mean, the incest goes on and on and on. Gates is heavily invested and tied to the hip with China. In fact, this past week he came out with we're being too harsh on China. We don't really know what happened, and they certainly didn't mean it to happen. You know, all that nonsense. And Fauci, for the first time this week, because he's feeling a little pressure, and we're going to talk about that, came out and said, well, you know, that virus did not originate in the Wuhan lab. You know, the Wuhan lab that me and Barry funded for $3.7 million to study coronavirus in 2014. Nope, didn't happen there. And he did it out of context. So it tells me that he's feeling the heat, because nobody denies something. You know, even tangentially, unless there's a reason. It wasn't like the host who was giving him softball interview questions, trying to rev up fear in the population. It wasn't that the host accused him of funding the lab that the virus came from and being in cahoots with the Chinese and the WHO, which, of course, he is and he was. He just kind of blew it out of clear ear, if you know what I'm saying. Manufactured out of whole cloth. I found it very interesting. Very interesting. The press, CBS News this past week, was caught by Project Veritas. God, those guys are great. Was caught by Project Veritas. Manufacturing a story about the lack of tests, the resulting deaths, the resulting wild spread of the disease, and of course it's all Trump and the Republicans and capitalism's fault. And they actually staged their whole shoot. They hired people to stand in an imaginary, a fake line, waiting for fake COVID tests, being administered by fake nurses, who were also kind of paid actors. Project Veritas blew the lid off of that story, and CBS has since taken it down. But I give you that little tidbit, not that you trusted CBS to begin with. I give you that little tidbit because this is how far the left and its media mouthpieces are willing to go to ramp up, instill, and at least maintain a constant state of fear in the population. You might have noticed the stories in the last 2 weeks. You know, the food supply is going to run out. Meat supply is going to run out. Blah, 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 blah. You know, the shelves will be empty in no time. You won't have any protein. Da, 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 da. Look, there's a lot more going on in that. And being in the ranch business, I kind of know about it. I'm not going to spend our time on it this morning. But it's all part of the fear factor, OK? okay? Not only are you going to die of this virus, but while you're dying, you're going to starve to death. The next thing will be, of course, water. There was an article last week, you know, of the mega drought because of climate change that's affecting the western part of the United States, and how the aquifers were drying up and how there wasn't enough water to get to Los Angeles. Now, look, this has a kernel of truth. You know, Goebbels, the disinformation master for Adolf Hitler, often stated that, number one, for people to believe it, it has to be a big lie. And for the big lie to become perception, it has to be repeated incessantly, nonstop. And there has to be a kernel of truth in it. And the left, you know, they learn from history. Lenin followed the same tact. Mao followed the same tact. Pol Pot followed the same tact. In their own ways, although they're strident, the mullahs in Iran follow the same tact. Maduro, down there in Venezuela, and Chavez before him follow the same tact. Castro in Cuba. I mean, it's all the same, folks. It doesn't matter what country. Excuse me. It doesn't matter what country, and it doesn't matter what. Form of communism, and it doesn't matter when, it's always the same. And so too is this communistic, globalistic force that we see rapidly emerging in the United States. You create the big lie, you repeat it incessantly, and you include within it a kernel of truth. Because you know what? Water is short, particularly in the Southwest. And the Colorado River is way overused. And I can give you another list. I can give you a whole litany of water-related problems. Did you know that the Platte River in Nebraska and Wyoming is the second most litigated water course in the world, the Colorado River being number one? So, yeah, there's water problems, but, you know, you're not going to die of thirst tomorrow. You're not going to get the coronavirus, starve to death while you're dying of the virus, and be unable to quench your parched throat from your hollow coughing. However, according to the press, that's exactly the fate that awaits you, unless you don't go to work, you don't get a check except from the government, you wear your little bandana, you clean your hands 20 times a day for 20 seconds and sing happy birthday twice. And I can go on and on and on. You know the drill. It is unfathomable to me that a large percentage of the population still is terrified. What's really going on out there? Number one, these models and Birx and Fauci and that whole cabal, Gates. But by the way, Melinda Gates gave Donald Trump a D+ in handling the epidemic so far. Okay, Melinda, you bet. How you doing on the vaccine and that chip program, darling? The whole thing, folks, comes down to what people perceive. And right now, there's still a large proportion of the population that perceives the coronavirus to be far deadlier than it really is. Over 2 months ago, I was the first to bring in the coronavirus story. I was the first to tell you about the Wuhan lab, and that's where it came from. I am still one of the only saying that it was intentional by the Chinese. Even our intelligence outfits came out with saying, well, it got out of the lab, but it was probably an accident. Nonsense. It was not an accident. If you study what the Chinese have been saying, if you listen to that speech, it's on my show February 22nd. Listen to it if you haven't. By the Chinese mucky mucks to the military brass in China. You know this wasn't an accident. For a whole bunch of reasons. But putting that aside, because that's really our next segment. Or should I say stage two of the next segment? There have now been a dozen studies, including by University of Southern California, Harvard, Stanford. You've heard about those two docs. Tucker Carlson's had them on, and a whole bunch of other media outlets have had them on. Their videos were getting 9 to 10 million hits on YouTube, and then YouTube took them all down. You know, the surest thing, just like Fauci out of thin air saying, oh, well, the virus didn't originate in that lab. I mean, like, where did that answer come from in the context of this interview? So too does YouTube taking down and big tech, Facebook, the whole nine yards, censoring this information. You know, Dr. Fauci's associate, it's a gal. We're going to talk more about this next week, has come out. It was called Plandemic. It was a whistleblower video. This gal, a PhD, one of the top epidemiologists in the world, who is the real discoverer of the HIV therapeutic drugs. There is no vaccine yet. She came out with a mind-blowing video. After being locked in jail for 5 years, literally by Dr. Fauci in the deep state, because he stole her research on HIV, which is how he got to be kind of famous, you know, because he was the HIV guru. No, she was the HIV guru. He stole her stuff. I don't want to go into the details here because we'll get lost in the weeds, but Fauci is getting a lot of heat. In fact, Judicial Watch, whom I love, I've talked about, send money to them, folks. These guys rock. You know about we're going to talk a little bit about this corruption. not the actual Flynn deal, but some stuff behind the scenes you haven't heard. Well, Fauci is in bed with the deep state. What happened, in my opinion, to this other doctor is exactly what happened to Flynn, except it was orchestrated by Fauci rather than, in Flynn's case, by Obama, which we now know after this week and the release of formerly classified information. Now, Fauci's also under the gun from Judicial Watch. I got waylaid there in my thoughts. Judicial Watch has sued him for all his documents concerning payments to or from WHO, Gates, and the Wuhan Virology Lab, and a host of other related items. And Judicial Watch is really good at getting documents, folks, particularly when it's from the government or a government employee, which Dr. Fauci has been for 35 years. Remember, this guy who's giving the President of the United States false models, one after another, after another, after another, inflating the lethality, the morbidity rate of this virus, is getting his cushy, cushy salary, and isn't on lockdown at all. He's out in front of the cameras on this network, that network, and the other. And downplaying every therapeutic drug like hydroxychloroquine. I'll just call it chloroquine for now. Now, the chloroquine thing, let me finish one part of this. So, basically what WHO and Fauci and shall we say the globalist doctors, what they said was anywhere from a 2.3 to 7.5% death rate. In fact, their first projection was 2.2 million Americans would die. And listen, over many years, 2.2 million Americans might die from this virus. And over the same number of years, 2.2 million people are going to die from the flu. And over that same number of years, a whole lot more than 2.2 million are going to die from heart disease and pulmonary disease and respiratory disease and renal failure and car accidents. And I can go on and on and on. You get the point. But what's happened with these studies, the USC study, the Harvard study, the Stanford study, the study by these two docs that YouTube suddenly doesn't like, a really good indication that they're onto something. Because YouTube is, I mean, they're at the apex of the globalist cabal. YouTube, which is owned by Alphabet, by the way, which is Google, and Facebook, and the whole, and then Bill Gates, Microsoft. Yeah, you can kind of see where this is going. The bottom line of all this is that the mortality rate of this virus is nowhere near, not even close to what they were projecting in their lowest projections, never mind their highest projections, from the think tank funded by Bill Gates, who believes everybody in the world should have mandatory vaccinations and be chipped so that you can follow their contact tracing. In other words, basically know everything you're doing. At the same time that you see this happening, what I want to say is conspiracy is not exactly the right word, but it is conspiratorial. Because while the medical profession is dumbing, the globalist part of the medical profession is dumbing up these models and jumping up and down and saying, you're going to die. How many times have you seen a story or have you seen a sign on the highway from your state, depending upon where you are listening to my show right now? You might be passing under one as I speak. You know, stay inside or people will die. Wear a mask or people will die. You know, wear your gloves or you will die. I mean, this is fear, folks. This is the manufacture of fear. And that's all it is. As I started telling you 2 months ago, ahead of all these studies, ahead of Stanford, Harvard, USC, you name it, just common sense, just straight, you know, rancher common sense. There were a hell of a lot more people infected with this virus than either they were letting on or that they knew. And the more people that are infected with the virus, given the fact they're keeping studious study and care to track corona deaths and inflate them, we'll get into that in just a moment, to increase your fear factor and to alter your perception of reality. Oh, here we are, Wild Bill Hickok, the press, Hayes, Abilene, Dodge City. Yeah, the coronavirus is the new Hayes, Kansas. My point is this. Another study was just concluded in New York, of all places. 7,500 people were tested. Almost 20%, somewhere north of 15% of them, tested positive or had the antibodies for COVID-19. More than half of them had showed no symptoms ever. In fact, they were flabbergasted to test positive. Flabbergasted. And if you interpolate that out, that means that there's somewhere between 1.8 and 2.7 million people in New York City infected. And New York City, which is the worst run response in the nation, leads the nation and just about any locality on the planet, if you want to boil it down to a local thing, with, I'm rounding numbers, 25,000 deaths. What is 25,000, folks, of 2 million? It's like under 1%. And let's face it, with 25,000 deaths. Oh, I'm sorry, is that for the state? Yeah, that's for the state. I think the city is 16,000. Excuse me. The city is 16,000. I mean, we're talking about a death rate which is less than the flu. When you use the denominator of all people infected, not just people hospitalized, and not just people known to have the virus because they are a one-on-one test. Do you see how this is being manipulated? Do you see how your perception, how they're trying to alter your perception to create the fear, to give them the control? This whole thing is nonsense. There should have never been a shutdown. South Dakota never shut down. It's doing grand. Sweden never shut down. It's doing terrific. And by terrific, everything is relative. They have roughly 200 to 225 deaths per million. But their infectations and deaths and hospitalizations is plummeting right now because they've gotten herd immunity because they never shut down. South Dakota is the same on a much smaller scale. Nowhere are the successes of not shutting down. Wyoming barely shut down. Restaurants and bars and, you know, fitness clubs, that kind of thing. Other than that, you know, although a lot of people, because of their perception that the press and the Democrats and the left and the left medical profession has instilled in them, their perception was that it was too dangerous to go outside, even though the state was pretty much open. You know, I drove through Denver today, and Colorado has not officially opened. But I can tell you that people around the country are, number one, they're catching on to this nonsense. They're catching on to the game. They're catching on to the manufactured perception of fear. And Colorado has been pretty strict on its shutdown. I mean, the governor there is also a Democrat, Polis. He's also an LGBTQT or whatever. And it was jammed today. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic going east, going west, going north, and going south on any highway or arterial or collector street. I mean, that city was buzzing, which tells me there's an awful lot of people saying, the hell with this, I'm going to do what the hell I want. And I might add that most of the people I saw walking around the streets, etc., did not have masks, did not have gloves. I noticed the same thing in Colorado Springs. I noticed the same thing in New Mexico. There is a point in time, particularly I think with Americans, because we have this notion of freedom, we have this notion of the individual. Even if you're on the left and your notion is negative, oh, individuals are bad and deplorables and people with guns and self-reliant, and blah, blah, that's terrible, that's horrible stuff. Even if you're on the left, you have that notion. You have that perception of America as a swashbuckling, individualistic type country, even though the left hates that image. But Americans, probably more than any other society, are probably the first to realize this is BS. You're taking away my rights and you ain't going to do it no more. I've had it. And that is what I saw in Denver, Colorado today. Because it was rocking down there. And I had to go into downtown Douglas before I came south for just a little bit. And downtown Douglas was bustling. Now, May 1, the slight lockdown that Wyoming had been more or less lifted with certain restrictions, 6 feet apart in restaurants and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, downtown Douglas was bopping along. There were some restaurants who got clever. They had set up grills, outdoor grills on trailers with outdoor seating, you know, literally just tables on the sidewalk. They didn't have any outdoor seating before this. And they were swamped. I bought a burger at one place just to give them some business. Hell, I had to wait 10 minutes to get my burger. That's how busy they were. And this is in a little town. So I think the country's waking up. I think this attempt to instill the perception of fear is beginning to crumble because people are starting to get it. You know, even the left can't stop all the news that leaks out. Even YouTube, it takes them a while. That last doctor's video, 9 million people saw it before YouTube pulled it. And trust me, a whole bunch of those people made copies of it, and those copies got distributed around. This New York study was actually carried on broadcast media today. So a whole bunch of people had it, and Google couldn't shut it down. And people are beginning to put two and two together. And, you know, now that interest in the coronavirus is dying, did you notice this week? Suddenly there are stories about this, horrible new mutation. What, if you get into the story, the mutation is normal. It has nothing to do with anything. They don't even know what it is, but it doesn't seem to be adverse. And viruses always mutate. But the headlines, which most people, that's all they read, was, you know, mutant strain of virus discovered with the horrible consequences. And then, of course, there were the headlines on the meat shortage and the food shortage and the water shortage and, you know, the meteor crashing into the earth and who knows what else they had. The seas rising up to swallow the coastal cities. In other words, they're trying to keep that perception of fear alive, just as the press back in the 1870s tried to keep that myth of the Roland Poland shoot 'em up, people getting shot and killed every day on sidewalks and boardwalks and walkways and dirty and dusty streets everywhere on these frontier towns. Same deal. Except one was to sell papers and create a romantic image, albeit false. The other is to control you. And you know, the people who want to control you the most are the ones who disdain you the most. They're the ones who think their caca doesn't stink. They're the folks who think, you know, when I hit the John, I don't need toilet paper. But you do. You deplorable, ten-tooth, cretin drag of an American. Let me give you some examples, because they're unbelievable. Neil Ferguson, did you hear that name? This was the head progressive, I mean, all you got to do is look at him, he's like a pajama boy. In England, and he was also using kind of the same models as Fauci and Birx, who, by the way, know Ferguson, and Ferguson knows them. Oh, and Ferguson also knows Bill Gates. This is all such a big coincidence. Anyway, he convinced Boris Johnson to shut down Britain and Scotland and Wales and, you know, the British Empire, basically, shut down using faulty models. Well, it comes out last week the strict stay-at-home, shelter-in-place, wash your hands 20 days, don't touch anything, don't see anybody, blah, 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 that Newsom demanded Boris implement, that Newsom, using this perception of fear, got done in Great Britain, just like Fauci got it done here in the United States. Well, it seems that every night he was getting a visit from his girlfriend, who happens to be married and who still lives with, in an open marriage, her husband and children. Oh, I forgot to mention. And Newsom had coronavirus, according to his own admission. So here he is telling you Brits, because I know a bunch of you listen to me over there, telling you Brits to shelter in place. You're going to starve. You're going to die of thirst. You're going to die of the virus. You stay in place or you're going to kill people. And this guy is having fun and frolic every night with his consort while he has coronavirus, which is admittedly highly communicable, and then sending her home to hubby and kids. Okay. To make a long story short, he's resigned. But, you know, as in the United States, the damage has been done. So this is a worldwide effort by the left and globalist folks. It's not just the United States, although the United States is the key. And I've talked about this before, but China is in lockstep with the leftists, and the leftists are and globalists are in lockstep with China. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's unbelievable. Anyway, that's my first example of the elite telling you one thing and doing another. In Scotland, the top health person in Scotland, a gal, she told everybody, you know, you got to hunker down, you know, you'll be arrested, you'll never see the light of day again, whatever, 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 you'll never have another beer, you won't be able to wear a kilt, whatever she told them. She's going out and getting manicures and pedicures, private, of course, but having people open up their shops to take care of her, you know, take care of her. You're staying home, but I really need my nails and my toenails and my hair and my complexion, you know, it all has to be done. Then we have Jerry Brown. Actually, I'm a little bit off. I'm going to get to Jerry. We'll save him for a little bit later in the show. Then we have Bill de Blasio. You know, shelter-in-place Bill. Sends the police in to break up a Jewish... I'm laughing, but it's not funny. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's pathetic. He sends in his goons, his SWAT teams, who, you know, I wish these people would just say no. But anyway, he sends his SWAT teams in to break up Orthodox Jewish funerals. By the way, at the same time, he announces that there'll be a call to prayer every day for Muslims. Think about that for a moment. But that's not really the point of this show. And while he has everybody locked down and he's arresting people and breaking up religious funerals, de Blasio leaves Gracie Mansion, and those of you who have read book one of Threads West, you know about Gracie Mansion. It's rather expansive grounds, pretty neat building. I mean, it's not like you're cooped up in a 10-by-10 apartment like most of the people in New York. He and his wife leave Gracie Mansion in the middle of all this, drive incognito with masks over their face so I guess nobody would recognize them, and they go to a park in Brooklyn. I'm not making this up. And then they jog and they walk around the park. And by the way, people did recognize him and started chasing him down with cell phones, screaming and yelling at him. You're telling us to lock down and here you are 10 miles from Gracie Mansion, you know, et cetera. Bill de Blasio, yeah. You know, the guy who said in March, come on down, no problem, eat the restaurants, mingle and have fun. And then, of course, we have Chris Cuomo, you know, Fredo's brother there in New York. So he's on CNN telling the world what a hero he is because he has the coronavirus. And listen, I'm sorry the guy got sick. But, you know, he's blowing it up in the full-fledged drama for ratings. What he forgot to tell everybody while he was moaning about being in quarantine, recovering from this horrible disease, is that he wasn't in quarantine at all. Hell, he was driving around without a mask, without gloves, whatever, down to Long Island, having a good old time, until he was spotted by somebody. Yeah, you know, our press at work. And then, of course, we have then we have the Chicago mayor. God, what a piece of work she is. Tells everybody to hunker in place. You're going to be arrested. I mean, she had this video this week. You set 1 foot out of your house, you're going to be arrested. You do this, you're going to be arrested. You do that, you're going to be arrested. You breathe, you look up at the stars. You know, you even so much as look at your car from your window where you're locked down in your house, you're going to be arrested. Oh. She gets turned in by a hairdresser because she called the hairdresser, made her open the shop, and give her a hairdo. And when caught and questioned, she said, well, I'm the face of the city. Let me interpret that for you. I'm way more important than you are, so my rules don't apply to me. And then, of course, we have the Illinois governor, Mitzker. I could use some other names, too. I mean, the guy needs to lose about 500 pounds. But besides that, he locks everybody down in Illinois. Then he extends the lockdown. And then we come to find out, I talked about this last week, even though he had banned all non-essential travel, he sends his wife and kids to Florida. Ah, okay. No problem. No problem. He sends them to Florida, by the way, which, as an aside, the press has been jumping up and down about a week about how it's terrible and Ron DeSantis is a killer and he doesn't know what he's doing and da-da-da-da-da. Let me give you some comparative statistics. Let me just digress for a moment, because this goes back to that creating the perception deal by the press. On one hand, they're loving Cuomo, who did not get ventilators in, ignored his health department's warnings, spent over $1 billion on failed projects like light bulbs and sunlight and whatever. Doesn't matter. And who got bailed out completely by Trump, completely. And who on March 2nd, I believe, or March 3rd, was telling everybody, no problem here, we're New Yorkers, we're ready for this thing, ain't gonna be no problem here. And then issues an order that if you're an older patient and you have COVID-19, a rest home can't refuse your admittance. This is despite the rest home association and rest home owners jump out and down saying, don't do this, a lot of people are going to die, we don't have training, we don't have PPE, we don't have facilities. Nope, in they go. With the result that 4,600 or 4,800 elderly folks, you know, the most vulnerable, we have to do this for the most vulnerable. You have to do this or the most vulnerable will die. You know, the whole leftist chant. If you don't do this, somebody will die, or you will die, or we'll all die. Because this is horrible. Nothing's ever been as bad as this. In fact, if you catch this, you're going to die. Yeah, so anyway, all these people went into rest homes. 4,800 elderly people, the most vulnerable, died. And it's not over yet in the New York nursing homes. And this is despite pleas to the contrary. 16,000 have died. That was the correct number. 16,000 have died in New York City. 25,000 have died in New York State. This is a total shutdown that's still ongoing. In Florida, Ron DeSantis, who never really shut the whole state down completely, gave people latitude, who, although he expressed his displeasure, didn't do much about, you know, a million kids running around the beaches for spring break, who opened up the beaches, which people have flocked to just, you know, several weeks ago already, and who protected the truly most vulnerable with all sorts of safeguards against COVID getting into nursing homes and areas like the villages where lots of elderly retirees live. There hasn't been one case of COVID in the villages, folks, and it's huge. I don't know if you've ever been down there. I have a lot of readers down there. It is huge. I would bet you that there are, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. I don't have the exact numbers. There's 300,000 to 500,000 people in the cluster that they know as the villages. Not one single COVID case in truly the most vulnerable population. And very limited COVID cases in all the nursing homes in the state. In fact, Florida, let's compare Florida to New York, two entirely different approaches. One was prepared, the other was not. One locked down, the other did not. One is already opened and pretty much completely opened. The other hasn't opened at all. Florida has, folks, 1,200 some odd, this is 1,200, in a state of 21 million. 1,200 COVID deaths. 1,200. New York City has almost four times that many just in nursing homes. It has close to 25 times that around the state. So what do you think about the various approaches? Do you think we should have shut down, folks? No. No, I don't think so. By the way, New York's population, to continue the comparison, is 19 million. It has 2 million less people than Florida, which makes those numbers all the more horrific, and which highlights how little good this shutdown, how unnecessary this shutdown was, except for the perception that was created by the press and left-wing politicians and left-wing globalist doctors. Let me continue with more hypocrisy here. It's even worse than hypocrisy. Justin Trudeau, who in addition to locking down Canada, also by edict under an Emergency Powers Act, banned 1,500, that's 1,500, different types of firearms. Just like, poof, banned it. No parliament, no nothing. Now, their constitution is different than ours. Bearing the right to bear arms is not a guaranteed right. It is not in what we call the Bill of Rights. They don't really have the equivalent in Canada. But here's the kicker for you. While Trudeau is locking down the whole country, and invoking, by the way, just prior to Easter, I mean, the video makes you want to retch. He's invoking Jesus. Don't go out of your houses on Easter. Think of Jesus. Jesus wouldn't want you to go out of your houses, because Jesus' disciples and Jesus' people will die. I mean, I'm not making this up. This was this guy's video. Stay locked down over Easter. Do Jesus' wishes. Save your fellow man. And then, of course, he left. He left Quebec and drove all the way across the country to his parents' lake house to spend Easter with them. Yes. Imagine that. And then Pelosi. Donald Trump's done this job, and we got to stay shut down. We can't open up the country yet. People are going to die. This is genocide. This is horrible. This is racist. This is whatever she says. Did you know that Nancy's been getting plastic surgery and Botox? That she's opened up clinics, which supposedly Gavin Newsom has shut down, just so they could tend to her? I mean, you really can't make this stuff up. And listen, I could give you more. I could give you more, but I don't need to. I think you know what the deal is, right? I think you know what the deal is. And then, of course, you have the one thing which could undermine all this is a good therapeutic drug. Because let's face it, folks, if you know that there's a disease out there, and you know that you don't weigh 400 pounds, you're not 90 years old, and you don't have diabetes, you have a good chance to beat the disease. But on top of that, there's these pills they can give you, and the disease kind of goes away for most people. You're not going to be too concerned about the disease, are you? That fear factor is going to deflate rapidly. And that is why, and I always mispronounce it, this Resvedere, the trial studies are, quote unquote, promising, but. We've had a response, a good response in some patients, but. And then chloroquine, which the Indian Ministry of Health mandates as a prophylactic and the first treatment upon signs of symptoms, which Turkey mandates as a prophylactic and the first treatment at the time of symptoms, which the French study shows a 98% success rate using it early. The New York study, Dr. Oz, who has a whole bunch of studies and buddies out there. I mean, everybody laughs at his name. The guy happens to be a brilliant doctor. The California study, the Israeli study, the Chinese gag me study. And here's Fauci saying, I don't think it's going to work. Mm-mm. Here's the FDA run by this guy Redfield, who got $42 million in grant and other fundings from Bill Gates over the last 5 to 7 years, saying, well, you know, we're going to approve it for an emergency basis, and if your doctor prescribes it, and if you know, your advanced case and all this kind of stuff, but, you know, we can't really recommend it. That's the FDA, our FDA, our Federal Drug Administration, right? Yeah, okay, food and drug. I mean, folks, if hydroxychloroquine works, and it does, the fear factor no longer exists. Do you understand? The perception has been altered. That would be like the press in 1876 saying, you know, the weather is beautiful. It hardly ever rains. There's money going crazy here because of cattle. And every once in a while, there's a bad dude that gets shot. You know, the perception of the romantic perception of the wild, wild, violent West would have been shattered. Do you see the analogy? I'm sure you do. Now, let's talk about China, because this all roads lead to China in this thing. I mean, yeah, the left and the left media has picked up the Chinese ball and run with it. But the bottom line is, folks, all roads lead to China. And most of the countries in the world now know that. And even the countries that China has tried to help, you know, pretending to have everything under control, you know, we're so under control, we got this extra stuff and we're going to help you out, like to Italy, 50% of the crap that they send to Italy doesn't work. So Italy, who has never really liked China much, although they are beholden financially to them. I've given you that whole show how China took over the garment industry in northern Italy. Over 100,000 people went home to Wuhan and then back. This is why Italy just got hammered, particularly northern Italy. With a death rate on known cases. Of 7.5%, probably a death rate of 1 to 1.5%, much higher than normal if you factored in all cases for a number of reasons. Lifestyle, health, weight, quite an old population, lots of viral load around because of all the Chinese. The world is pissed at China. And the United States is pissed at China. And China's going, uh-oh, our gravy train. You know, they've been out there kind of winking with a nod and a smile and extending their influence in Western education systems, Western universities, ripping off scientific stuff, cheating everybody a trade, and building, with all the money and secrets that they're stealing, building up their military, building up their base, luring companies in from the rest of the world, which strengthens them and weakens the rest of the world. It's about Chinese world dominance. Think about that speech that I read for you on February 22nd show. Well, now they realize that the world is on to them. And they are rattling their sabers. And I don't mean just their, we won't give you any drugs now that we have 90% of your supply saber. I'm talking about real sabers. Missile sabers, ship sabers, troop sabers. Nobody's talking about this. I told you last week about them dispatching an Air Force. They only have two carriers, and both of them are quite inferior to our carriers. But that's besides the point. They have two carriers now. They're building nuclear stealth submarines using technology they stole from us. Their fighter planes, by the way, are built on stolen technology for the F-35s and F-18s. They flew fighter planes at night over Taiwan last week, violated Taiwanese airspace, causing a huge uproar. As I reported to you 3 weeks ago, they literally swarmed the South China Sea. You know, the islands that they have, well, the islands that they have built, literally taking an underwater atoll and building them up into a military fortified island to claim 12 miles of sovereign territory around them, which happens to contain a lot of oil. I mean, these folks they're on it. Satellite images over the last week and intel reports show unusually large massings of troops in various portions of China conducting exercises, readiness exercises. I told you 3 weeks ago about this underground nuclear explosion that we had picked up, but it wasn't a big one. It was very low key. It was a violation of the nuclear treaty with the United States. Not that the Chinese care about the violation of any agreement. And I mentioned then, you know, that sounds to me like an EMP blast. Read that speech from February 22nd, folks, or listen to it. They talk about it. It's all laid out right there, what they want to do and how little they regard human life, both their own and their enemies. And then what happens this week? Let's see if I can find that article for you. Because it's, let's see here, where is it? Where did it go? The Chinese, oh, here we go. Here's another thing that happened this week. Besides moving a naval armada into the South China Sea to take advantage of the vacuum power because the Teddy Roosevelt aircraft carrier is out of commission because of COVID because of their moron captain, and sending the flotilla led by one of their two aircraft carriers up the straits to Taiwan, and then overflying Taiwan with their military aircraft, the secrets from that are built based on secrets they stole from us, and threatening us with, this is like 4 weeks ago, with withholding drugs, and accusing the United States military, there's a reason they accuse the military, folks, military of bringing the bug to China. I mean, nice try. On Tuesday of last week, Chinese state media assembled this panel of experts that discussed, I'm not making this up now, the advantages of using an electromagnetic pulse weapon, that's an EMP, against American ships that enter portions of the South China Sea claimed by Beijing, i.e. the islands. They talked about the fact that an EMP strike on U.S. warships would, quote, involve detonating a small, gee, kind of like their test, a small nuclear warhead above them. or using, quote, low energy laser devices. Let me continue reading because it's better than me telling you about it. To counter U.S. repeated trespasses into Chinese territorial waters, the Chinese military has the option of using new approaches, including the deployment of electromagnetic weapons. Song Zhouping, a Chinese military expert and commentator, told the Global Times on Tuesday. Firing at U.S. warships is not a good choice unless the U.S. fires first, and that would result in the start of a China-U.S. military conflict. Bumping U.S. ships might also not be a good counter. But the use of electromagnetic weapons, including low-energy laser devices, could be viable as they can temporarily paralyze U.S. ships' weapon and control systems without visible conflict but can send a strong warning. Electromagnetic weapons can emit electromagnetic waves that potentially jam electronic devices of target vessels and will not cause casualties. Think about that speech I read you, folks. Here's the bottom line with China. China, in my opinion, is weighing the odds of winning a war with the West and particularly the United States right now. I mean, they still have a problem with coronavirus despite their lies to the contrary, but they're further along in solving it than we are. They don't have Nancy Pelosi to contend with. Okay? They have President Xi, who in one nanosecond can make a decision that will be acted on in the next nanosecond by whoever he gives the instruction to, and then the Red Chinese Army, Navy, what have you. In fact, they even that speech even talks about the paralysis in Washington, D.C. And that was, you know, in 2004 that speech was given, that Mein Kampf of China. I would put the odds at a shooting war. I happen to think, yes, it was good that he did, and it was the time to do it, and it was a way to start phasing Fauci and Birx out of the public limelight and the picture, fading them away, so to speak. So there were a lot of good reasons for the president to stop those two-hour press briefings every day. I happen to think that one of the reasons is he's having to spend that 2 hours a day on getting briefed on potential conflict with China. The what ifs, the alternatives, what they could do, what we could do in response, you name it. I mean, trust me, the hayseed here in Wyoming ain't the only one who's figured this out. I sure as hell hope I'm not the only one who's figured this out. But there's only so much time in a day. And I have a feeling that's one of the reasons that Trump's no longer giving those two-hour press briefings. There's a 50-50 chance, folks. There's a 50-50 chance. And by the way, another indicator I forgot to bring up. The Chinese, at the same time that they're shutting down their U.S. meat plants, and the left, of course, is picking up the ball and running with it with the meat shortage and we're all going to starve, et cetera stuff, the perception stuff. Though from those same meat plants, they are sending tons and tons and tons and tons of frozen meats, last year's cuts, that otherwise would be shipped out to grocery stores and shelves in the United States, they're shipping it to China. In other words, they're playing into and trying to create a food chain breakage here in the United States. I think the odds of a shooting war with China, again, this is not said to scare you, this is just my opinion, okay? Based on a whole bunch of dots, some of which I gave you tonight, and there's others we're going to discuss in the next week or two. The odds of having a shooting war a hot and horrible conflict with China are probably 50-50 right now. 50-50. Even Henry Kissinger, what a globalist, came out, I think it was the end of the week before this one, this last one, and talked about the, his exact quote was, "We are in the foothills of a Cold War with China." We are in the foothills of a Cold War with China. So you say, well, so what can I do? You can be prepared is what you can do, folks. I've talked to you about it a million times. And I think one of these upcoming shows, next week, the week after, you know, if we have the time, we're going to do a preparedness drill. I went over it a little bit last week for you, but there's a bunch of other things that you can do too. And you know what? If you never have to use it, terrific. I'm the first one to jump up and down and cheer. But if you ever need it, it could be life and death difference for you. So be prepared. Sit down and write out your list. Get the stuff together. You know, believe it or not, a metal garbage can, this is one of the things I'll bring up on this detailed survival show, a metal garbage can will protect, probably, your electronic equipment, your computer, your phone, etc., 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 from an EMP. Just a metal garbage can. That's how little it takes. If you put one garbage can inside the next, and by the way, make sure the bottoms don't, put some paper in there or whatever so that you don't have direct conductivity. But if you put a metal waste paper, not waste paper, but trash container inside another metal trash container, the odds are really, 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 really good that whatever you have stored in there will survive an EMP. Just a thought. Extra cell phone, old cell phone, you know, your second laptop, because you should have two. Something that stores your records, your wills, all that kind of stuff. All right. I'm going to leave you with one last thought here this evening. You know, just like a company's profit, is composed of two elements, cutting costs or increasing revenues, assuming your revenues are profitable. Well, so too does people's perception of their fear perception, their fear quotient, so to speak, fanned by the flames of the media, the left and the globalists. So too can you approach that in two directions. So not only did they understate the number of cases, which increases the percentage rate of deaths, but at the same time, they overstated the number of deaths. And in fact, I've got an argument with some lefties on the blog, etc. Where's that chart? Oh, you're just making that up, and really a lot more people, it's the usual nonsense. I mean, these people are, 2 + 2 = 5. It's like 1984, George Orwell. This is the CDC's own numbers, folks, the CDC. And the CDC is globalist, and it's no friend of Trump's. So these numbers, I think you can probably pretty much believe. And they actually broke them down by the various types of death rather than lumping them all under COVID. So all the news, this perception of fear, this generation of anxiety, quite purposeful, intentional, that you've been hearing about 67,000 or 69,000 deaths, 100,000 deaths coming, 2 million deaths. Here's the actual numbers. This is May 1. 5 days ago, at the same time that the press and the Democrats are talking about 68,000 or whatever they're talking about dead from the virus. This is the CDC's own number. COVID-19, I'm reading right from the chart. COVID-19 deaths, 37,308. Pneumonia deaths, 64,382. Deaths with pneumonia and COVID-19, 16,564. Fluenza, the flu deaths, 5,846. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. They're pulling out all the stops on this. Democrats, globalists, and globalist medical people like Fauci and Birx, they do not want this country to reopen. And every Dem governor who oversteps their authority and goes into control freak mode, like I was giving you examples of. I mean, folks, I was going to do part of this next week, and I still am, because it's like breathtaking. This is a bill pending in Congress right now, even though they haven't showed up. They're getting $174,000 a year, you know, and all their lifetime benefits, doing nothing except drafting these left-wing friggin' bills from wherever they're holed up, you know, in their million-dollar deals eating ice cream in San Francisco. This bill now exists on the floor of the House of the Representatives. Landlords would no longer benefit from the fruit of their labor. Instead, their rental activities would be managed by the government, and a portion of their rental income redistributed to their tenants. This is basically transferring wealth from the landlord to their tenants. That's what it is. Obviously, it's highly unconstitutional. Obviously, massive power would flow to the local Politburo, unelected bureaucrats. What's not so obvious is that it would transform the real estate market. Who the hell is going to keep their house and turn into a rental, or go out and buy rentals and fix up neighborhoods to get rent, if it's all going to be taken for them and they're told who and when and how they can rent? Nobody. Nobody. Zero. And this, by the way, one of the co-sponsors is Omar Ilan, our illustrious refugee from wherever the hell she is in Africa. You know, who married her brother to get him into the country and then filed false. I'm not going to start foaming at the mouth here. Then we have Ohio, California, and Oregon pushing for laws, I quote, that would force private property owners to allow homeless people to camp out on their property. What's worse is that they try to do something about it, that is the property owners, they would be arrested. I'm going to talk more about this next week. This is unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. Stay safe. More importantly, get prepared. Even more importantly, start beating the drums on the November 3rd election. By the way, some candidates needing some money are posted on the politics portion of the website at ontherightsideradio.com. Go there and start sending some money to these people, folks, and to these groups and to Judicial Watch. This is an investment in your future, your pocketbook, your family, your children's children, and this country. Do it. Stand up. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.